Hello and welcome to this week's Mooney on Politics podcast, which has been recorded at 2 o'clock on Thursday the 16th of December. This week's podcast takes my broadsheet piece from last Monday and I'm going to add to it a little bit. If you haven't done it already, if you haven't seen it already, then do yourself an enormous favour and check out the glorious blackboard scene from the second series of Derry Girls. Actually, do you know what? Just go and watch all of Lise McGee's deeply affectionate and wildly funny account of life in 1990s Derry. In the blackboard scene, Father Peter invites teenagers from a Catholic girls' school and a Protestant boys' school who've been brought together for a cross-community weekend to suggest examples of things they have in common. These are then written down on the blackboard. However, the kids kind of struggle to come up with things they have in common, but have no problem listing their differences.
I just want to think along those lines for a moment, okay?
Catholics watch RTE.
Protestants love cleaner.
Protestants are taller.
Catholics have more freckles.
Protestants hate ABBA.
Okay, thank you.
By the end, you see that the differences blackboard is overflowing and the similarities one remains almost bare. While I've no doubt that it wouldn't be near as funny, if you asked a group of Irish people what Boris Johnson and Micheál Martin have in common, I'd say they'd probably struggle to propose much for the similarities one. It's hard to imagine two more dissimilar political leaders when it comes to outlook and style. So while Johnson relies on bombast and flummery, and basically this broad image of bonhomie, slightly detached, Martin comes across as a serious, solid, grounded, assiduous worker who, for whatever flaws he has, doggedly puts in the hours and doggedly does the work. Where Martin sees himself as a master of detail, never missing an opportunity to show how much he knows or to remind you of his past ministerial experience. Apparently he was Minister for Health and Minister for Education in the past. Johnson just burbles in vague generalities with the odd classically inspired rhetorical flight of fancy, particularly when the questioning is getting tough. Watch him any day in Prime Minister's Questions to see the comparison. Look, I could go on for hours listing the differences. Indeed, there's the material for three or four blackboards worth of them, an appearance, presentation and diet alone. But they do have some things in common. They're quite important things, actually. And that these things speak to their fundamentally flawed leaderships. The greatest similarity is that both men prefer to appoint the compliant and to shun the gifted. One of the great management truisms is that A's appoint A's and B's appoint C's. And this applies to leaders too. The best leaders surround themselves with people of equal stature and ability. They don't feel threatened by having people around who know how to do the job. Rather, they'd see that having capable and effective lieutenants can actually elevate them and make their own leadership stronger. But weak leaders appoint even weaker deputies and ministers. Selecting your cabinet team on the basis of their acquiescence and ability to answer every question with yes, boss, may make your life much easier in the short term, but it won't make an inherently weak leader look strong. Even by comparison. Inevitably, the problems that your weak ministers are either too meek or too unqualified to resolve wend their way onto the Prime Minister in tray. Suddenly, but predictably, the weak leader is overburdened and eventually publicly exposed. The latest question marks over Johnson's ability to hang on as Prime Minister and Tory leader stem directly from the decisions he made within days of securing his leadership. His disdain for having anyone on his front bench who was not on the same page as him, particularly on Brexit, but on a whole range of other issues, or who might fail the absolute loyalty test, has now come back to bite him on the backside. Having such incompetent B and C class characters, indeed a few D's, like Rab, Patel and Doris, not just in cabinet but in key ministries, is hurting Johnson, though it is not as if their loyalty to him is so unswerving that they would not be prepared to ditch him in favour of a Sunak or a Truss if it came to it. See, their loyalties of the variety which Sir Humphrey, paraphrasing Francois, the Duke de Rochefort, described in Yes Minister as the lively expectation of favours yet to come. Let me be quite clear, it would be deeply unfair to hail any of Martin's ministerial picks as being as imprudent as Johnson's base for appointments. However, it would also be a major overstatement to declare that every single one of his surviving ministerial appointments were coming from the stronger end of the spectrum. In a very insightful piece a few weeks back, The Examiner's Daniel McConnell talked about the growing Fianna Fáil disquiet with the performances of the Ministers for Health and the Minister for Education, saying, and I quote, "Some ministers say Martin is more than happy to be seen as the Minister for Education, the Minister for Health and the Taoiseach all at the same time." End quote. I have absolutely no doubt that the ministers who said this to Danny were 100% right. I also have no doubt that Martin and his inner circle of Marian and Mountstream advisers see themselves as having to carry the burden not just of these ministers, but also of their colleagues, their TDs and the entire party, as if they and they alone knew and understand everything. But these self-anointed Sherpas have gotten what they wish for. The folks who now see themselves as burdened by those they now brand encumbrances are the ones who ensured the encumbrances be appointed. As you sow, so shall you reap. Galatians 6. And though they may be at different stages of the process, both Johnson and Martin are set to pay the price for valuing amenability above talent and acquiescence above ability. While the threat to Johnson's leadership is not imminent, it has become very public, with the usually pro-Tory Sunday papers turning on him vicious last weekend. This week we saw him face a rebellion with up to 99 MPs voting against his COVID measures. And this whole thing could speed up very, very quickly if the Tories were to lose tonight's by-election in a seat vacated by the disgraced former Northern Ireland Secretary, Owen Paterson. This should be a safe Tory seat, probably one of the safest Tory seats. And yet right now, the bookies are suggesting that the Lib Dems are going to come very close to winning it, if not actually winning it. If they were to win it, it won't topple Boris Johnson, but it will severely damage his impact as a leader who delivers results and delivers wins. And that's what the Tories want. They want victories more than anything else. By the way, that applies to Fianna Fáil too. In Martin's case, while the threat to his leadership is very far from public, it may be more imminent than he may care to acknowledge. One hard fact is that it's a very public fact, is that he has just 1 year left as Taoiseach. On December 15th next year, Martin will cease to be Taoiseach forever. That will be it. And while Deputy Martin and his inner circle may believe that they can move seamlessly from the Taoiseach suite to the Tarnishness with life going on as before, they're now the only ones thinking that. As 2022 progresses, even the most compliant minister and backbencher will start to wonder what's in store for them when the change comes. They won't be waiting for the change to come to start thinking about it either. It's not a long road from them thinking about it to them talking about it off the record, of course, including to journalists. Unless something major changes for or to either of these leaders, it's impossible to see either Martin or Johnson leading their respective parties into another election. And that's another thing they have in common. Now there's a small postscript here, because before any Martinite takes to Twitter or Facebook or whatever to tell me how the poor man had only very little choice when picking his ministerial team, might remind them of two things. One, some of the most experienced and resourceful pre-2020 spokespeople still languish on the backbenches. Micheál Martin's opposition frontbench team is much stronger than his government team. Second, Micheál Martin and his headquarters staff had a full decade to identify and cultivate a talented and electable candidates. I can think of several very able people who should now be on the Fianna Fáil Dáil benches, but they were passed over by the powers that be. The parliamentary party Micheál Martin has now is the one that he created. Regrettably, the sidelining of those who think differently or have had the courage or the imagination to question the current Fianna Fáil policy or organisational orthodoxy extends beyond cabinet selections. There is a general sense of dismay and discouragement right across the party, from the shrewdest stalwart to the newest recruit. Over the last couple of days and weeks, I've heard stories about people in Ogriff finding that their scope for saying what they think and acting upon how they think is very, very limited. Because the political loyalty and discipline that was once the Fianna Fáil organisation's greatest strength and hallmark has now been turned against it. Raise your concerns about the party's direction, its future, or even its relevance, and you risk being seen as disloyal, even favouring a heave. That said, while it's disconcerting and dispiriting, it's still all pretty petty stuff. None of it is on a par with the high stakes, often vicious carry-on that Professor Gary Murphy chronicles in his biography of Charlie Hawley. Though this, I suppose, is itself an indicator of how enfeebled and how diminished Micheál Martin's party has become under his leadership. That's my Mooney on Politics for this week. Next week will probably be a bit more of a review of the year, and then we'll take a break until the new year. So, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I've kept it a little shorter than usual, and we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, enjoy yourself as much as you can. I hope you're all getting to have some Christmas cheer and goodwill, and take care. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.